So, as I was looking at this new perspective, being above things, I thought about different ways that we don't conform to the world anymore. The first part of that scripture, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. When I'd read that scripture, I'd usually go right to 1 Corinthians 3:16, which says, I'm going to have to look that up. Do you not know that you yourself are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? And I usually relate that to, we are to keep our body pure, that we're not to be smoking and drinking and doing drugs and things like that, but we should more be filled with the Spirit and have a relationship with God to make ourselves that temple, that people can see us as something different. But this time it was a little different. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. A couple weeks ago, we had a party at our house, and I had people from work over. And in the announcement, I said, there's going to be soft drinks and some of the different food types. And someone said, you mean you're having a dry party? There's not going to be any alcohol there? It's like, how can you even do that? Well, that's not where we're at in this world. We don't need to have that kind of stuff in order to have fun, to enjoy one another. And I usually enjoy our parties. It's usually a good time with others, getting to know people outside of having to be mind-altered by alcohol. While we were in Ohio, one morning, it was Sunday morning, we woke up and I turned on the TV and I was watching a movie on HBO called Hacksaw Ridge, a World War II movie just recently released by Mel Gibson. Maybe it was a year ago, but it was on HBO. And it's really the story of an individual by the name of Desmond Doss. And he grew up in Lynchburg, Virginia. And when Pearl Harbor was bombed, he and a bunch of his friends decided that they would try and enlist. Only, he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And he took the attitude, I'm not going to work on Sundays if I can avoid it. And he was assigned to a rifle battalion. And he went in as a medic. And he said, hey, I'm not a conscientious objector. I'm a conscientious cooperator. And his attitude was, I'm not going to touch a rifle. I'm not out there to kill people. I'm out there to fix lives. And it caused him a lot of trouble. And this is a true story. I looked it up online and read the guy's biography a little bit. And it was interesting because in the military, you're a very cohesive group. You rely on one another in your unit, and you're part of a bigger whole. And for someone to say, hey, I'm not going to touch a rifle, it's like, wait a minute, you're not one of us. And he endured a lot of hardships in his training and things like that. And then later on, it moves to a point in the war where it's over in Okinawa on Hacksaw Ridge. And really a terrible thing. But what happened was, he, after a day of intense fighting, he was still up on the ridge, and there was a rope ladder to get down, and he stayed up there. And that night, he lowered 75 individuals down off the cliff. Injured people, both Americans and Japanese. And for that, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. He stood to his principles, though. He basically said, listen, I don't believe God wants me out there taking lives, but I am a cooperator. I will help save lives. And it was recognized for what he did. Now, last Sunday, I was put in a situation. Well, I worked Saturday, and they had scheduled meetings for Sunday. I don't usually work Sundays. I believe that it's right to give the Lord one day a week. I mean, that's the fourth commandment that we have here. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And whether it's Saturday or Sunday, doesn't really matter too much to me, as long as you're setting apart a time for the Lord. I know a lot of people set apart time every morning before they even get going on the day for the Lord. But one day. So I declined my meeting messages, and I got a response that said, you must be here. We need you because you're the technical expert on this, and boy, that did not sit well with me. And I thought, yeah, here I am going to bring a message about an individual who more or less kept the Sabbath. But then when I read his bio, this event where he was up on the ridge lowing down 75 people that night, that was on a Saturday. That was his day for the Lord. And God blessed him in it. So I said, Lord, this is up to you. It's not the norm. I'm not going to conform to the pattern of this world. I'm going to rise above it. But there are times when I'm going to let people know, here was an opportunity for me to go in. And because of that, I've shared with a dozen people or so, I don't work Sundays. They knew it was an imposition to ask me. And if I really wasn't needed, I don't think I'd be asked. I would have been asked. And in the future, I don't think I'll be asked unless it really is critical. I was able to share my testimony, just one more little piece of ammo there to let people know I have a relationship with a God. And the Sabbath, God did not make the Sabbath for God to be honored. He made it for man, for us. We need that rest. Boy, this last week was tough. It was, 10-11 days straight working, 12 days working straight through. And my body felt it. I was not who I normally am. I was short-tempered. Really had a tough time with it. And I recognize that God's principles are at work in our lives. Whether or not we want to acknowledge them, they're there. And this brought me back to another remembrance. And I'm going to read this, if you don't mind. About when Elisha was telling the king of Israel, hey, don't go here, don't go there, don't set up shop here, because he was talking to God, and God was being very protective. So they were going against the Arams, and the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king, so that he was on guard in such places. I mean, really had a relationship talking to God. It was good. Well, the enemy wasn't too happy. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? He thought he had a spy in the group. Who's actually telling him where we're going and what's going on? Why are our efforts being, so frustrated all the time? And they replied, none of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. His directive, go and find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. Not looking good for Elisha. But in the morning, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, no, my lord. What shall we do? The servant asked. Elisha answered, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And that's true in our life. Those who are with us, the spiritual forces in the heavenly realm that are with us, are much more than the physical that we have here that we're contending with. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha had the peace. He knew that God was with him, that he would take care of him. I don't know if you can see this picture very well, but believe it or not, the little block in the A up the top is the same shade of gray as B. I know just looking at it, it does not appear that way. And sometimes when we look on our surroundings, things seem pretty grim. But yet we're to be that light in the world. Or we can get caught up in it. I did a little photoshopping where I A and B, and then I put them right so you could see it. But they are the same. And it's just a reminder that, hey, your surroundings, as dark as it is, you are who you are, but you can be that light. Or you've got an option and you can be depressing and bring everybody else down. When you look at this picture, what do you see? Do you see a duck? Or do you see the rabbit? Can you see both? Show of hands, how many people can see both? All right, almost everybody. That's good. The other day, Marcia and I were talking, and she was mentioning one of our mutual friends who's a lawyer. And she mentioned that this individual had gone back and seen somebody who she had gone to law school. And they both had the same basic way of dealing with things. They tried to look at it from all different angles to see things. And it's part of the training that lawyers get. You need to look at it not just from your perspective. You got to see both sides of the coin. You got to see different things. And that's the way life is. We're geared a little differently, but yet it's still for the purpose that God has. A couple decades ago, we were at a home fellowship, and it really, one thing that got imprinted on it, they had a jigsaw puzzle out. And I like puzzles, and you know, as the night was going on, some of us went around to different places talking to people, but we started working on the jigsaw puzzle. And there was a time when it was down to probably about the size of a hand area, still missing. You know, someone would put in a piece, and then you'd put in a piece right next to it and kind of smile and things like that. But an individual and I were looking for both for the same piece to go in one place. And it was, you know, half a minute, and it's like, and I'm looking for that one, and it's like, so am I. And he said, it's got a yellow streak in it. And I said, no, it's got three little nubbies on it. It was just the way we were looking at it. He was looking at it for the color, and I was looking at it for the shape, the outline. And it was just funny that we were looking at the same identical thing, trying to fill in the piece, but our approaches were completely different. Where do I point this? Whoa, too far. Okay. So what do you see when you look at this? Do you see the young lady wearing the choker looking away? Or do you see the old hag? You can't see the old hag? Okay. The old hag, that's her nose, little wart on it. That's her mouth. Okay, and that's her eye. Or the young lady with the little button nose there looking. Our perspective changes. The way we look at things in life differ. Sometimes we get caught up by ourselves, and we look at what our life's about rather than trying to reach out to others. Mark Twain had this quote, "The best way to cheer yourself up is to try to cheer somebody else up." When we speak into people's lives, it makes a difference. They're good things. Sharing Christ, what a great thing to share with somebody else. And that builds up your own faith. You talk to somebody, they ask you questions. If you don't know the answer, you got to go deeper and deeper into the Word. You see things from different eyes. Someone else's perspective in life. It's a good thing. I don't know if this would show up, but sometimes it seems like the world's spinning around you. If you're looking off to the side and catch the circles out of your peripheral vision, they look like they're moving. Yeah, maybe not. On the computer screen, boy, they look like they were moving. But it made me think about how you need to really set your eyes on Jesus. When everything is all just a whirlwind around you, set your eyes on heavenly things. Put your focus on Him. So as I was going through all this, God made it specific to me one simple thing. And that's forgiveness. Realizing that everyone sees things from different perspectives. Sometimes I'm a little short, and it was a tough week. So I'm basically sharing on myself, preaching to myself more than I am to you. But there was a song that came on the radio and by Matthew West called Forgiveness. And he says, "Help me now to do the impossible." Forgiveness. It'll clear the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. And start thinking, yeah. It can restore relationships. He said, there's no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through the eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. It's like, whoa. Holding grudges isn't good. Yeah, we all try to atone and make restitution where we can. And we expect others to do the same. But even after you've reached out to someone and said, hey, I've been offended or this or that, if you haven't made it right with them, sometimes you're just left with, hey, I really need to forgive you. And when you do that, you start feeling better about it. It helps you. So where God was speaking to me on the different perspective and looking at things differently, whether it's how I'm weathering storms or storms are coming in or coming out, forgiveness, not everybody has the same perspective on cases, things that happen. People have reasons for it. We don't need to judge each other. I judge people who go to work 7 days a week, you know, that may be that they just don't understand what God needs to do, that they need a rest in life.